chapter 38, verse 24. Perhaps some of you heard a man on Dobson this week. He was saying there were four basic personality types. I have read other things that makes more divisions than that. But anyway, one of his was a lion. He said there's people that are, he gave them the characteristic of a lion, take charge kind of people. Then there are otters, who are fun-loving animals. They like, they're witty. They like to have a good time. And then there were a couple of golden retrievers, concerned about people emotionally, sympathetic type people. Always cared about the feelings of others. And then beavers that were very hard-working, busy, workaholic type people. And of course, I think he even said, and I would hasten to say, that to be a balanced person, we need all of those elements. But he was saying that one of them would be dominant. Well, we know this from Scripture, that God uses the lion to describe Judah. The tribe, the lion of the tribe of Judah, hath prevailed. The kingly lion came from the tribe of Judah. David was from the tribe of Judah, and Solomon and his descendants. And Christ came out of Judah. He's the one who's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was one of those take charge kind of people. Of course, he had all of those elements, really. He even told them to come aside and rest a while, the otter, if you will. Take a break. Let's have a good time. Let's rejoice. And his first message, he talked about true happiness again and again when he gave the Beatitudes. He said happiness is determined by not your circumstances, but by having the right attitude. Blessed, happy, content are the poor in spirit. You know, it's so easy for the humble to be happy. They don't even have to be blessed their self in order to be happy. They're happy if somebody else is blessed. Then the psalmist say, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. But you know, the proud are never glad when somebody else gets blessed. That makes them miserable. They're envious, jealous. You know, they got all those evil emotions. But David said, the humble is going to hear about me boasting in the Lord, me being blessed by the Lord, and that will make them happy. So you see, it's not hard to make a humble person happy. They just hear about anybody being blessed, God moving in anywhere, any good report, and that makes the humble happy. And so we see all of these elements in Christ, but he described as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so I thought, what is it about this man Judah? You know, even in the ancestry of a man, we see the characteristics that are passed down. That is something that's in Scripture all the way through. And of course, modernists don't like that, because it really, they would say it's racism or it's ethnic preference. But you know, the Bible teaches when Jacob gave the blessings, and many other places, when Noah gave the blessings to his son, he would say, Jacob, for example, he'd say, Reuben, he's as unstable as water. He's not going to excel. And you know, he wasn't just talking about the man Reuben. He was talking about the tendency of all of Reuben's descendants, the tribe that came out of Reuben. And you say, well, that would be a terrible thing. And I've heard many people talk about blessing your children. You know, give your children a blessing. Well, you look at some of the blessings that they gave them in the Bible, and you'd say, is that really a blessing? Like that one I just read, a room. But you read what Jacob said about his other sons. A lot of them were rebukes. Or I would say they are cautions. You see, what he's saying to the children of Reuben is, your tendency is to be as unstable as water. You better work on that. You know, another caution, the Cretans, in the New Testament, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Apostle Paul said, now one of their own, a prophet of their own, it was a Cretan, he said, who made that statement. But he said, which witness is true? They say, so therefore, should the Cretans throw up their hands and give up and say, we're always liars, evil beasts, so that we give up. No, Paul didn't stop there. He said, wherefore, rebuke them that they be sound in the faith. In other words, he's saying the Cretans, they have some special problems. Don't pretend like the problems don't exist. You know, as we used to have an expression, take the bull by the horns. Realize this is what the problem is. Be a lion about it. Be a take charge kind of person. I know this is the problems that my particular family has, the dispositions, whatever it may be, whether it's a violent temper. Yes, violent tempers run in families. Suicide runs in families. All kinds of phobias, you know, whether it's not only physical diseases run in families, such as cancers, diabetes, they know that. Physical problems run in families. So do mental and emotional, psychological problems. They run in families. But that's not to cause you to say, oh, I give up. You know, nobody in my family, I think it was Mickey Mantle said, no male in his family ever lived to be over 50. And I think that even affected him. He drank very heavily, partly because he thought, well, I'm not going to live. I don't, no need of me taking care of myself. And he had a blood disease. And so no need of me taking care of myself. I'm not going to live long anyway. Nobody else. But he lived longer than that. And probably would have lived a lot longer than what he did if he hadn't had cirrhosis of the liver, you know. So it's not given to cause us to despair, but to cause us to be aware of the problem and to say, I need to take special precautions against it. That wasn't why that God told these people, this is what you're like. You know, even we're given the general disposition, the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, or the Jews and the Greeks there in the New Testament. The Jews, he said, require a sign. But the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ to the Jews a stumbling block. We preach Him as, this is the stone which you builders rejected, that you set it not, which has become the head of the corner. But He said, we preach Him to the Greeks foolishness, that is to the carnal Greek. But He said, nevertheless, to them which believe Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. So he had something, a different approach, if you will, to different ethnic groups. Sometimes there's not the same answer to every question. But anyway, let's get to this lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah was a take charge guy. And if you study his life, you'll see that time and time again. Even though he was not the firstborn son, he wasn't even the second or the third. He was the fourth-born son of Leah and Jacob. And you know, he was born into family conflict, an envious situation there. And Leah, when she named every one of her sons, it was with that conflict with her sister, the jealousy of her sister in mind. She named the first one Reuben. Behold, a son. In other words, I've had a son. Rachel, she can't have any children. Behold, a son. And then Simeon, the Lord hath heard me. It means hearing. said, "The Lord hath heard me. He looked on me in my affliction, the fact that I'm hated," she said, "and he's heard me." So she named him Simeon. Then Levi, she said, "Now shall my husband be joined unto me." Levi means joined, because I've borne him 3 sons. And then she said, when Judah was born, "Now I will praise the Lord, for I have borne my husband 4 sons." And his other wife hasn't borne him any up to that time. And so she named Judah, which means praise. And actually, we get the word Jew from Judah. See the prominence of this fourth born son. You know, a lot of times leadership comes about by default. That was the case with Judah. See, Reuben, he was the firstborn. Naturally, the mantle of leadership would fall to him. But he went up unto his father's couch and lay with his father's concubine. And so he lost the mantle of leadership, if you will. Next to Simeon and Levi, they took vengeance. They were violent and bloody men, and that's reflected when Jacob gave the blessing later on. They took revenge because of Dinah being seduced there and killed all those men. Was it the men of Shechem, some city there? And they took justice, took the law into their own hands, took revenge. So that passed on down. The only one left who didn't have a major blot on his record was Judah. And he took that role then of leadership, and he was more highly regarded by his father. But Judah, he's talking about a reclamation project early. Those that don't seek the Lord early, even if they repent later on, Judah was that kind of man. Because Judah made some big mistakes in his youth. The sins, you talk about the sins and mistakes of youth that he had to overcome. Well, look at what he did in Genesis 37:26. "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him unto the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." At this point, Reuben was gone somewhere. He wasn't present. And Judah stepped to the leadership role, and he said, well, he was a moderate, you might call it. Let's don't do what these radicals say. Let's don't kill Joseph, because he had some of the fear of God in him. We don't want to bring his blood of our brother. After all, he is our brother, even if he's just our half-brother. So let's make some money out of this deal, and let's sell him. And they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. That would have been, if those 10 brethren, Reuben not being there, Joseph being the one sold, that leaves 10 others. That would have meant they got 2 pieces of silver apiece out of that deal. And he said, let's sell him. We'll make a little bit of money, and plus we'll keep the blood off of our hands. He is our brother and our flesh. And so Judah, they do what Judah says to do. He takes the lead, even though Simeon and Levi apparently were there. Again, he takes the lead in Genesis 43. Well, let's read some here in Genesis 38 and begin down at verse 24. "And it came to pass about 3 months after, it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she said to her father-in-law, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man whose these are am I with child. And she said, Discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, the bracelets, the staff? And Judah acknowledged them and said, She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more. Well, Judah apparently had married, one of the big mistakes he made in youth, he married out of the will of God. He married a Canaanitish woman and had three sons. God slew the firstborn because he was evil in the sight of the Lord. So he took the secondborn, said, "Here, raise up seed to your brother," as was supposed to be done in those days. Take this woman to wife. And Onan saw the seed would not be his. He was evil in the sight of the Lord. He said, "I don't want to raise up seed to my brother. I'm not going to do this." So he practiced some birth control there, and God said, "You won't raise up seed to your brother," and he slew him. Then Judah had one more son, but he looked at it and he said, "This woman is, we might say, she's bad luck. She's bad news." And he wouldn't give her the third son as he should have. So she pretended to be a harlot, veiled herself, and waited for Judah. And Judah was a widower, had lost his wife, and he went into this woman he thought was a harlot, didn't recognize her. Turned out it was his daughter-in-law. And when he found out, unbeknownst to him still, they said, "She's with child. She's played the whore." He said, "Bring her out and we're going to burn her." Yeah. You see the hypocrisy of this man, Judah. The harshness of judgment. And she said, but she had the evidence. She said, look at what she had made him give her, those things. "Looky here, who do these belong to?" And he suddenly realized he was as guilty. Well, he said he was more guilty than what she was. Maybe this incident helped to change, I believe it was one of them, that helped to change Judah, make him a more able to see his own faults. You know, I had an uncle that told me one time, said it's real easy to solve the other fellow's problems. And to go along with that, it's real easy to see what the other fellow's problem is. It's real easy to see the other fellow's fault. That's what Jesus was teaching when he said, you got a beam in your own eye, but you're concerned. You can't see it, but you see the splinter in your brother's eye, and you say, let me get that splinter out of your eye. But he said, you'd better first cast the beam out of your own eye so you can see clearly to deal with the splinter in your brother's eye. Jesus is teaching us we better first be concerned with straightening up ourselves, or we won't be able to see clearly to straighten up anybody else. And Judah, I believe this incident helped to change him and to realize to be a more merciful and compassionate person, because he realized suddenly, hey, I was going to have her burnt. Now, am I willing to be burnt for what I did? No, I want mercy and compassion for my sins. And perhaps this made him into a man that would later on take the lead when it came time to stand in the gap for his brethren. Because you see, it was Judah who, before Joseph, he pleaded the case, and he admitted when all this was coming on them, he said, God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. He said, that's the reason all this is happening to us. He said, it's not just a man, this man who they said they didn't recognize him as Joseph, their brother. Here's another case where he didn't recognize who he was dealing with. But he said, really, what we're dealing with is God is after us. Because when our brother pleaded with us, and when they reasoned among themselves, he said, we saw how Joseph pleaded with us. Don't do this. Tried to talk them out of it. He said, we had no mercy, no compassion. Now, we're meeting ourselves down life's road. And every one of us will. You're going to meet yourself down life's road. And he was realizing we're meeting ourselves in the form of this man, this prime minister of Egypt, who is a hard man and won't listen to our pleading and won't be reasonable with us and won't be merciful to us. He's a hard man to deal with. And that was the story they had to go to their father with. You don't understand what we're dealing with, Jacob. This man told us he'll never see our face again if we don't bring our youngest brother Benjamin down. And here we are, we're going to starve to death in this famine if we don't do it. And Jacob didn't want him to do it. And the implication is he delayed as long as he could till they were going hungry before he finally would consent to do it. And only then, because Judah stood up and said, my life will be in his... I'll give my life as a ransom for him. I won't come back if I don't have Benjamin with me. And then when Joseph insisted, Benjamin, you've got to stay. Benjamin's got the cup. It's in his sack. He's the one who's going to pay for this. Judah steps forward and says, let me be a ransom. Let me be his redeemer. Let me be his substitute. I'll stay and I'll serve you forever. Because he said, how shall we go up to our father? And the lad is not with us. Said, it will kill our father. And I think even they had seen the effect of Joseph when their father thought he was dead. They didn't realize how bad it was going to affect him. They all rose up and tried to comfort Jacob, but it said he would not be comforted. And he said, my gray hairs are going to be brought down with sorrow to the grave. So Judah realized, we can't do that with Benjamin. I'll stay and serve you forever. And that finally brought Joseph around, and he realized, my brothers have changed. Yeah. Judah has changed. Whereas before, he's only interested in the profit motive. Let's make a little money off of this. You see, Joseph wanted to know, do they have the same attitude toward Benjamin, who was his only full brother, Joseph's full brother, his younger brother? Do they have that same attitude still of jealousy and envy and hatred toward Benjamin that they had toward me? And Judah convinced him, finally, that he had changed. It is possible for people to change, but it's usually a process that takes many years.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, it's a process, because you see, in order to be wicked, you've usually made many decisions that brought you to the point of wickedness. And you're going to have to make many decisions in the opposite direction before you arrive at righteousness. And so after many years, Judah did change. And he said, not only will I pay money to redeem Benjamin, I offer myself. My life is what he was saying. Because I'm going to stay here and serve you forever if you'll just let Benjamin go back to his father. Well, that was too much for Joseph to take, and he finally broke down and cried and said, I am Joseph, your brother. Is my father still alive? And his brethren could not speak unto him, for they were troubled at his presence. But after he said, come near to me. Don't be afraid of me. Don't be grieved with yourself. He said, I see the big picture now. It was not you that sent me here, but God. And who knows, if it had been the other way around and Leah's children had been the favorite, would Joseph have been jealous? You know, it's easy to condemn all those other brothers, but It was a tough situation they were in as children. They weren't the favorite. Joseph was the favorite. He was given the coat of many colors. They weren't given a coat of many colors. Jacob, I believe, really did do wrong in showing favoritism. You know, he was the favorite of his mother, and here he was showing favoritism. But Joseph said, he said, "You're victims." But he said, "Really, God sent me here to preserve life." Said, "Come near to me." And after he kissed his brothers, he touched them, he kissed them, then it said they talked with him. They relaxed a little bit. They said, well, their life was in jeopardy. If Joseph had wanted to, he could have had them all killed. If he was a vengeful, vindictive kind of person, he would have had them every one. They're all spies. Kill them all. But he saw the big picture. He said, really, this was all in the plan of God. Now, he used your carnality to bring about his plan, but he knew what you were then, and he knew what he was trying to make you. And this has all come about to make us all better people. And so Joseph forgave his brethren. And then later on, when Jacob, their father, blessed them, you know who got the best blessings? Judah and Joseph. Jacob gave them by far the best name of any among their brethren, and they got the best blessing. Joseph, because he had remained faithful, and Judah was, I think we can say, the prodigal who finally came home. He came to himself, and his reason returned, and he learned the ways of God. And that's what wisdom is, really, learning the ways of God. Amen.